Hello and welcome to the Vine Life Podcast. I'm Tony Clark, your host, and today's special guest on the program is Graham Honeycutt. Now, Graham is the executive director of Tucker's House. Now, what is Tucker's House? Tucker's House is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that provides home modifications for families of children with disabilities. Now, they do this to make their homes safer and more accessible. Tucker's House's vision is for every child and young adult with disabilities to have a safe and accessible home. More information, if you're listening on a podcast, can be found at tuckershouse.org. Again, tuckershouse.org. Graham, thank you so much for coming on the program today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Great to be here with you, Tony.
Absolutely. So let's just start in the with the beginning here. The name Tucker's House. We kind of know about a little bit about what you do at Tucker's House, what the vision is for Tucker's House. But where did that name come from?
Yeah. So Tucker's House was founded back in 2009 with our founder, Sunny Rosenbaum is her name. She's still around, but she's retired now. But it started in that she was looking for some home modifications for her grandson, whose name is Tucker. And when he was about 3.5 years old, she was just watching her son and her daughter-in-law have struggle with manual lifts and getting Tucker in and out of the home. And she happens to have, now 40 years, but at the time, 30 years worth of construction experience. She said, well, there's got to be somebody in this community that can make these, you know, accessibility modifications. There's got to be some organization to help. And she just, you know, being the grandmother she was, she picked up the phone and just kept calling and calling. And she could not find anybody. So being the amazing person that she was, she's like, well, if there's no one that's doing this, this is a real need. So I'm going to start it. So she started it back in 2009. And, you know, we're still here doing modification accessibility. And Tucker's is now, he's 15 now. So, you know, I think he'll be 16 here pretty soon. So, you know, so it's just interesting to see how that evolution has happened. And so we're still here doing that mission that she started all those years ago. So.
Well, Graham, I want you to talk about that mission a little bit and walk me through the process. I assume that, first of all, that you cater to Middle Tennessee primarily. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. So right now our service area is just Middle Tennessee. You know, we're hoping to expand that. We get calls from all over, you know, from, you know, Oregon and Minnesota. Sometimes we get calls from Virginia, too. And it's funny. There is a Tucker's House, I think, in Virginia, but it's not like related to us. It's like some kind of like venue or something. But we even get some emails from like abroad. Just of, you know, different cases. But yeah, we serve primarily here in Middle Tennessee, hoping possibly to expand someday. But as we could talk about more in the podcast, the model is, it is complicated to produce and try to reproduce, because there's a lot of different pieces involved. So we can talk about that more if you'd like, but there's a lot of different pieces involved to make the modifications happen.
Right. Well, let's talk about maybe step one. If someone is out there and they're looking for assistance that fit their criteria of Tucker's House, just kind of walk me just a general process of step one, two, three, and four.
Yeah. So step one is to visit our website, tuckershouse.org. You'll see a tab on the top right there says apply. So we actually start with an inquiry form. And that just basically gives us the, you know, basic information that you're looking for. That way, too, before you fill out like the entire application, it helps us to know if you're qualified. You know, are you in our service area? Do you meet our different set of qualifications? So it starts with the inquiry form. Once we have that, so we actually have gone now to open application windows just because the demand was getting so high that if we took applications ongoing, sometimes it was over a year before we could even, you know, let you know, okay, now your project's starting. So we go to these open application windows. And so within that We take full applications during those open windows, and then that just helps us kind of know, okay, who are we going to do in, you know, our two quarters, like our Q1 projects or 2Q projects, and then we open it back up again in the summer. So that's kind of the first piece, and then the application just includes, you know, we'd have certain financial qualifications. We pay for all the modifications. We fundraise for that purpose. So there's no out-of-pocket expenses for our program. So there's financial qualifications, and then we have some medical things, like you have to submit a letter of medical necessity from a doctor saying that you have a child who has a documented disability, things of that nature. So that's kind of the first piece, is that application piece. And then from there, it's, you know, once you have an approved application, we start with an assessment. So, and the assessment includes, some just general information with our program manager. But what I think really makes Tucker Sauce unique is that we actually bring in a licensed home therapist who, in our case, is a physical therapist, and does an assessment on the child, not only knows their diagnosis, but also the prognosis of what that situation is and how that disability may present itself over time. So we have that assessment, and then those assessment recommendations are given to an architect. So the architect can actually design a plan and a modification plan for that home that we know is going to last the lifetime of that individual with the disability. So we're proud to say we've never had to go back in and redo a modification, because even if we do the project when the child is five, with that, you know, that therapist doing that, you know, they may be able to walk at five, but when they hit puberty, they may not be able to. So we go ahead and design, you know, a 0-entry shower, roll under sink, even at five. So when they're 12 or 14, you know, that modification we know will last a lifetime. So that's kind of the first. There's more steps from there, but those are kind of the first initial, I'd say, 3 to 4 steps of what we do.
Yeah, and it's my understanding you get a lot of help maybe from local businesses as well that contribute their time and effort. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
We do. So we have different various ways that businesses help. So we have a few in-kind partners, and they're typically commercial general contractors and some residential general contractors that just have a heart for the mission and really want to help. So they will partner with us in doing some of the, you know, mostly, like, most of what we do is solid flooring, bathroom renovations, widening doorways, and installing durable medical equipment. So we partner with these businesses that have relationships or abilities in those certain areas to complete those modifications. But then we also have, a list of general contractors that we work with too, that we pay to have the modifications made. So we kind of have both, depending on, because you can't just depend on like the volunteer work year round, especially the way construction has been here in Nashville, for in Middle Tennessee. They're busy. They have a lot of work. It's slowing down a little bit. But then we also have business relationships with, that they may not even be in construction, but they just have a heart for the mission. We have a new video series called House to Home, which is our take on like a HGTV type series where you get a behind the scenes look at, the family story, the modifications being made. And so we will have businesses that actually partner on those projects that donate to the project for it to be completed. So we have a different relationships with a lot of different businesses in the area and a lot of different facets.
And you mentioned that I think it's called House to Home, that video series. And I've looked at that. That is like it's really like an HGTV, like a docuseries or something. But I love seeing the behind the scenes of how things come together and all of these people contributing to the same cause. Talk about that video series. It's a little bit more. Was there a certain person that had the brainchild to think up the House to Home series, or how did that get started?
Yeah, well, so it happened that I won't say there's like any one individual. Like with most things, like it was our team. It was kind of team coming together. And it was really us. So I would say, so when I started 4 years ago, we really made a shift from like just donating to Tucker's House in general. We really tried to make it a more specific appeal for like, hey, you can help out Joshua's family or, you know, Zola's family, and really make it more concrete, kind of like, you know, you would think of like, hey, and, you know, you can donate and save 1 million children in Africa, or you can donate to like this one specific child. So when we made that shift, we really saw that resonate with our partners and our donors. Just really like there is that full transparency of like, hey, I donated this money and I can see the tangible physical results of this went into making this bathroom or this these home modifications. So I think that tangibility piece just really brought it home. So, you know, from that, it was, you know, our staff just talked about, well, how can we make that resonate and get the word out where people can really then not just see like a before and after picture, but how can they see kind of the full process and the behind the scenes of, you know, the construction and the family stories and, you know, what it means to the families and, you know, the waterworks kind of ensue from there of just seeing like the families and how grateful they are. So, you know, it kind of was, you know, as like a lot of ideas, right? There wasn't like this single like, like we're going to do this video series. It was kind of like, as we continued to work, and then we were just like, well, what are we going to name it? You know, we just figured out the name. And then from there, it's just been a learning experience of, you know, putting on kind of like the TV producer hat and the video hat and figuring out, and we're still making iterations to it, I think, to even hopefully make it even more, you know, like people will want to watch it and something, but yeah, and I think it came too out of, you know, we were talking too of, you know, we try to do things at Tucker's House that maybe are a little bit unique. I think we are kind of a unique nonprofit in general, but also just thinking through like, well, you know, every nonprofit, you know, does a newsletter. Well, you know, I don't know about you. I know you work some of the nonprofit space too, but it's like, I don't necessarily like finish reading a newsletter. I'm like, man, I cannot just wait for that next newsletter to come out, like, you know, waiting on. And so we were also trying to think though, like we were watching our favorite shows and it's like, you know, you watch that show, you know, it's like, I can't wait for that next season to come out, or you kind of have that anticipation. So we're kind of trying to capture some of that too, of, is there a way to interact with our audience and our donors and our partners that they are actually looking forward to engaging with us more than just like the next newsletter or mailer, you know, and they can subscribe. And, you know, we have seen a response to that. So,
and again, this video series that you're doing, House to Home, it really draws people into it. And you can see, you know, you can see the sweat equity, if you will, of the folks that are doing the construction. You can see behind the scenes. You can see the families of the special needs children. You can see them having to carry their child before. And then what you do with the construction, they don't have to do that anymore. So it's, you really meet the needs of some of these families that are really struggling, and you can see that. You can see the faces, you can see the hands and so forth. That's what I really like.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that resonates with you, because that was really the vision behind it, is, you know, how can we capture, we know we get to see it every day, like, you know, the family stories and just hearing the need, but really making it tangible. So, you know, if you're donating, you can just really see that full transparency of, you know, and we even do like the figures on the show that you probably saw, like, this is how much, this is what we budgeted, this is how much it costs, and, you know, here's, you know, some things along the way. So you just have that really tangible and transparency of funds of like, hey, you donated here, this is exactly where it went to. So
yeah, and if someone wants to watch this video series, is the easiest way just to go to tuckershouse.org and you can see that link there?
Yeah, I think so. We also do have a YouTube channel that you can go to, but the videos are housed on the website. So if you go to tuckershouse.org, you'll see a button on the top that says House to Home Videos. And that's an easy way. You can still click the YouTube from there, but I think that's the easiest way just to engage. And you can see, like, you know, our current episode and our past episode. We're currently filming our third episode right now. So,
well, it's very good. And Graham, I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. Now, you've sure. got a personal story with Tucker's house. Do you want to talk about your experience and your story a little bit with your family?
Yeah, sure. So I was actually, my family was actually a Tucker's House recipient, for we were a client of Tucker's House. My oldest daughter, Michaela, was born with a congenital brain malformation, so she had significant special needs and disabilities during her lifetime. And we actually reached out to Tucker's House for help. So Tucker's House came in and made some, small modifications for us. And then, unfortunately, Michaela passed away 5 years ago. And, you know, I just stayed in touch with the organization and, you know, wanted to continue to help the mission. And then as the founder was retiring, she reached out and asked me if I would be willing to help steward this into the future. And so for me, it is a very personal mission. It's also just a way for me to be able to talk about Michaela and remember her. And, I definitely see her in the faces of the families we serve and the children we serve. And it's just a way for me to honor her memory and give back. And, I can't say it's always easy. It's not. It's a very personal mission, and I'm just, and I can speak to it for, it's like a no firsthand, the difference that these modifications can make. So it's, I can talk to, different people, I can talk to funders, how important that is. And I can talk to families and relate to the situation that they're in. So.
Well, you've experienced that firsthand, and it certainly comes through when you're talking about the need for Tucker's House, obviously. And thank you for telling that, Graham, that story. Graham, can you think for me, just tell me one heartwarming story. It may be a recent story of a family you guys have been able to help, or a past story. Is there just, and it's, all of these stories are special, but can you think of yeah. just one that really sticks out to you that's really encouraged you and the folks that have helped Tucker's House?
Yeah, well, maybe I'll just try to give you two really briefly, like even just thinking like about a past one and then maybe a recent one that you could even watch on the House of Absolutely. Home series. So I think the past one, other than just, my family's personal story, is we were serving, and I guess they'll just both happen to be single moms. So I'll throw that out there. But I don't know, maybe that resonates, especially for me, just, because it's like just having that sole caregiver. But we were serving a single mom who had, older, younger adult. And when we went on an assessment, she could really no longer lift her child. And so she was literally, she set out a towel on the bedroom floor. And she was, as well as she could, basically dragging her child off the bed onto the floor, onto this towel. And then she would drag him on the towel from his bedroom, on carpet, by the way, drag him on this towel into the bathroom. And then she could not physically lift him into the tub. So she would take like the bath and splash water on him onto the bathroom floor and just, be able to soap him up and shower and just splash water over the edge. And then, would kind of drag him back on this towel and then lift up the two ends of the towel to eventually be able to put him back up on his bed just to bathe him. That's just one of those things, like when it's one thing to hear about it, but when you're in that situation, and cause we're just trying to go and observe, like, we're just saying, hey, show us how you live and we'll try to help you make a modification process that makes sense. So just watching that, you just think about the things you take for granted, like just your kids out of the house or just being able to give your child a regular bath. But That one really stuck out for me. And then just the more recent one that you can actually watch is Joshua and his mom. It's also a single mom situation. But if you go to the house at home, it's our most recent episode. But just watching her, you know, her lifting her 14-year-old and lifting him in, and how just watching her like scoop him up and doing her best to lift him, and you know, just to be able to enter into that there. But you really get the behind the scenes look, you know, like even like physically, like it's one thing for me to talk about like lifting him down and onto a towel, but for her, you just kind of watch her and how much of a struggle that is for her to lift him. And then, you know, just the different opportunities for injury then, you know, like we all want to keep our children safe, you know, but just trying to lift him into the tub and the shower situation. And then just to watch afterwards to see the transformation and see like how happy they are and just how much like stress just seems to like have left that situation. So those are two, like an older one and then a newer one, you know, that really, really resonate for me.
Oh, and I think the latest video I watched today, I think that you were there on set or on scene asking the mother how dangerous it could possibly, and I'm paraphrasing, but how dangerous it could be to put the child into the shower, mat or what facility that she had currently.
Yeah.
She had to pick the child who was pretty big and lean him over, and the danger there. I guess you were asking her the danger, and she was basically saying all the time it's dangerous.
All the time.
So, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's been interesting for me too to like, you know, I play host on the show, so it's this interesting mix of like, obviously I know, you know, some of the questions and things like that, but you know, I end up in kind of that host seat where I'm not necessarily explaining everything. I'm just trying to highlight and bring forth from the family. So I could tell how dangerous it was. You know, on video you see her, you know, kind of lifting him and putting him in, but for her just to, she doesn't even know, like it's just her life, right? She just doesn't even know. But you know, thinking about just the, and a lot of times when people think about the injury, they think about just, you know, might just be the child, like if the child was dropped or something like that. But it's also, you wouldn't even believe how many rotator cuff injuries and back injuries and it's not always just the parents. Like sometimes it's grandparents taking care of these children too. So, you know, we think about, you know, just the inability of a person in their 70s or 80s to do all these manual transfers and lifts, and they still want to take care of, whether there's, you know, a certain situation where the parents aren't in the picture. You know, just it's really safety for both of them, and that wear and tear that can happen to on someone's body who is doing that repetitive lifting over and over again. So,
well, I if you're listening or watching a video of this program, I highly encourage you to go to tuckershouse.org. Again, tuckershouse.org. You can see the videos there. You can link the videos. Click on the link. It will take you to the YouTube page as well. But it's called House to Home. And very heartwarming stories about what Tucker House is able to do to meet those specific needs of those families. Very encouraging, very heartwarming. And Graham, if someone wants to contribute their time, if they want to contribute funds, if they want to become involved in Tucker's House, how do they do that?
Yeah, so you know, again, I feel like everything these days, you kind of point people back to the website, right? But the website, they do get to us, right? But if you go to the tuckershouse.org, we do have a donate page where people can review the different ways, you know, if they want to set up a, you know, recurring gift or a one-time gift, or do some sort of stock donation, or if you have a donor advised fund, foundation, things like that. We have all that information listed there. You can also email us at development@tuckershouse.org. You know, that sends to multiple of us and we get in touch. And then in terms of time, we do have, you know, a little bit of information about volunteering. We are a little bit unique in terms of our nonprofit. We don't take a lot of general volunteers. We really need skilled volunteers. So people who have, you know, different construction experience. We do take some, like you'll even see on the latest episode, we had the Churchill Mortgage went out and did like some yard work and such. So we do have some opportunities, but, you know, we're not that typical nonprofit. We do some demo, but it's really, you know, when you're going in and you're ripping out bathrooms and doing all those things, like, you know, I don't even do that, right? You don't want me in there. Like, you know, I might hit the wrong pipe or, you know, whatever it may be. Like, so we really rely on skilled volunteers, but we do have some other opportunities, but they're limited. Just like to be clear and upfront with someone's like, hey, I want to come out and volunteer. It's like, well, we have limited opportunities for unskilled volunteers. So.
Absolutely. And Graham, what's on the horizon for Tucker's House? What do you guys have planned?
Yeah, well, you know, again, I think, you know, I kind of look at that in stages, right? So like immediately is, you know, we're just focused on our upcoming projects, right? We just had one of those open application windows closed on January 15th. So we're reviewing like who's currently in the pipeline. We have, you know, we've narrowed it down to kind of 8 that we're looking at. How are we going to schedule it out? So we're looking really, you know, within the certain time frame of like what projects are upcoming, what kind of skill sets do we need? And we do have a little bit of just in a natural sense, like we, for instance, with one of our contract architects that we work for is no longer going to be able to do work with us this year. So it's kind of this ever, because we do have, I mentioned earlier, like all the different pieces. So, you know, we have like contract therapists, we have contract architects, we have general contractors, you know, that we work with. So it's really continuing to, you know, broaden our depth in the community of people that we can rely on to do the contract work. So it's kind of like the immediate. But then, as I mentioned, that like long-term goal and vision is more around like how can we make this model sustainable. So, because we know the need is there, because we, you know, literally get inquiries from, you know, different places. So, you know, is there a way to, you know, make this model sustainable so it possibly could be reproduced in other areas to serve? That's kind of the long term. And, but I'll say it's complicated because there's just a lot of different people involved. But I think we're slowly and surely getting there, but it's taking us some time to kind of figure out what are the necessary pieces. But who knows, maybe AI will help us in the future. It's kind of like, well, maybe some of these manual things will become more, you know, you can input all your designs into AI that you've done in the past. And so maybe you can, hey, send us your design plan of your home, and we could have a, you know, we could design a project and you can hand it off to a general contractor in your area. But it's the funding piece then. It's like, how do you, you know, so much of what the families rely on for us is the expertise, but it's also the funding of, you know, we're paying for these projects, we're fundraising for it, that are often, you know, between $20,000, $30,000, $35,000. That's a big spend for anyone, but especially when you have medical bills and therapy bills and everything on top of that when you have a child with special needs. So, so it's kind of short and the long term, I'd say, what's on the horizon.
Well, it's certainly a organization that's worthy of your support. And if you're thinking about supporting it, go to tuckershouse.org. Graham, thank you so much for coming on and telling about what you do at Tucker's House.
Yeah, my pleasure. We'll do this anytime. And thank you for having us on and spreading the word. And I look forward maybe to hearing from some of the listeners out there and getting in touch with them.
Absolutely. And Graham, I'm going to ask you to hang on 30 seconds, about 30 seconds post-interview, just to make sure everything is uploaded correctly. But Graham, thank you so much. And until next time.